From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on This Day in Maine, Friday, October 4th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Town officials in Orrington say an ongoing trash fire at the Eagle Point Energy Center will take several days to put out. Until then, Fire Chief Scott Stewart says firefighters will monitor the site around the clock and put out any hot spots. The fire broke out Tuesday inside a trash incinerator formerly operated by the Penobscot Energy Recovery Company, but was contained to the tipping area of the building. Smoke from the fire has affected the air quality of surrounding towns on the Mid-Coast. Stewart had this message for residents.
I understand your concerns and the need, you know, that this is causing disruptions in your life, and certainly we are working hard to limit those disruptions. You know, we are working hard to get the information out.
The Maine Department of Environmental Protection discontinued an air quality alert for the area this afternoon, but warned that flare-ups are possible, and if residents smell smoke, sensitive groups should remain inside. Mainers' heating oil consumption tumbled to the lowest point in more than a decade last year, a milestone Governor Janet Mills credits to her administration's deployment of electric heat pumps. Peter McGuire has more.
The number of Maine homes using heating oil dropped 6% last year, the biggest annual shift since 2010, according to federal data. The drop coincided with a major push to get more homes to use high-efficiency heat pumps. The state met its goal to install 100,000 units 2 years early, and in 2023, it set a new target of putting in another 175,000 heat pumps by 2027. In a statement, Mills says she prioritized transitioning households away from expensive, polluting, and volatile fossil fuels. Those efforts are, quote, paying off, with reliance on heating oil rapidly declining across Maine, the governor says. Maine is still the most heating oil-dependent state in the U.S., with fuel oil accounting for more than 52% of home heating. But that has dropped from 70% in 2010. The state plans to spend more than $115 million in federal funding on heat pumps to drive it even lower. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
School leaders in Maine are welcoming the creation of a new commission to study Maine's school construction needs and financing. The Maine School Boards Association says data shows more than 500 schools in Maine were built prior to the 1990s, with nearly half built prior to the 1960s. Stephen Bailey, executive director of the Maine School Boards Association, says those schools were not built with project-based learning, technology, and security concerns in mind. The other challenge, he says, is the state's funding process, which relies on bonds and voter approval.
For the most part, you know, 6 to 9 schools per building cycle have only been able to be approved. It takes about 5 to 7 to 9 years to complete each cycle. So, you know, a very few number of schools are able to be built within any one funding cycle.
The commission will evaluate school construction needs, look at possible funding mechanisms, and recommend changes to the legislature. The state says the last such review was completed in 1997. A statewide land bank that's intended to help communities revitalize blighted properties is officially up and running. As Nicola Grisco reports, the Maine Redevelopment Land Bank Authority launched today with its first project in East Millinocket.
Maine Redevelopment, which the legislature created 2 years ago, will help communities repurpose old mills, commercial and residential properties into productive use. For its first project, Executive Director Tuck O'Brien says the authority will provide a group of volunteers trying to redevelop the former Great Northern Paper Mill with technical assistance and
help with fundraising and identifying financing to get the projects moving. What was once one big corporation that ran the mill in East Millinocket and Millinocket and employed upwards of 6,000 people, the space in East Millinocket is going to be re-tenanted with probably 12 to 15 different businesses, and hopefully in the future, public facilities and maybe some housing as well.
O'Brien says there could be as many as 400 to 600 properties around the state that could be redeveloped. In some cases, the land bank may become the owner of a property or simply help communities find the funds to finish an existing project. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole Ogrisco.
Workers at the Sappi paper mill in Skowhegan are calling for an end to forced overtime and 24-hour double shifts as part of ongoing contract negotiations with the company. The most recent union contract expired in August. Justin Shaw is the president of the United Steelworkers local that represents mill employees. He says the paper company is concerned about employees calling out of work.
When you're forced 13, 14 days in a row and you're trying to line up a dentist appointment 6 months out or a doctor's appointment a year out, and now you're getting, they're trying to draft you for things, right? It creates hardships on families. So sometimes the only way we can get a day off is to call out.
Union members voted to authorize a strike in late September. Shaw says that if union members aren't happy with the outcome of negotiations later this month, they may decide to strike. In a statement, Sappi said that its latest contract offer includes additional wage increases that are among the best in the region and in the industry, and that it disagreed with the union's characterization of the overtime problems. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Join us for Weekend Edition tomorrow morning at 8 with Carol Bousquet. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.